Scripture reading this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. But as to the times and the season, brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail comes upon a woman with a child. And there is no escape. But you are not in darkness, brethren, for the day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those that sleep at night, and for those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us not be sober. Let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we, whether we wake or sleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This ends the scripture reading.
Thank you. There's an African proverb. It goes like this. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I think there is some wisdom for us this morning. There's some wisdom that we can think of when we think about our spiritual walks. I think that as we look at taking a journey, if you want to go quickly, you could throw some clothes into your car. You could unilaterally decide that you are going to go without consulting anyone, and you can just start moving. You can just get on your way. And you move quickly. But you move without encouragement. You move without other people's support. And so, while you might be able to get from point A to point B more quickly, point B is probably going to be a lot closer. On the other hand, if you travel with somebody, you have encouragement. You're not just lost in your own thoughts. You can have conversation. You can pool your resources and go further. You can take turns driving. All of this, in our modern context, enables us further in a physical journey. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Spiritually speaking, the same thing applies. If I want to discover one particular thing, if I want to delve into a certain aspect of my spirituality, I can pick up a book, I can say a prayer, I can do that without anybody else's help. But I'll very quickly get lost in my own thoughts. I'll very quickly discover that my thoughts and God's thoughts start looking an awful lot alike. I won't necessarily get very far, because I fall into the idolatry that is my own will, my own desires. Conversely, if I want to go far, I gather together with others. I gather together and I ask for others to speak wisdom into my life. I listen more than I speak. If I want to go far in my journey, with God, if I want to take many steps on that narrow road, I gather together with others. We're going to unpack our verse today from 1 Thessalonians just a little bit. Our first statement is, we don't belong to the darkness. Did you hear that in today's verse? Did you hear that in today's scriptures? We do not belong to the darkness, but there is a lot of darkness that surrounds us, is there not? There is a lot of darkness, and all you have to do is turn on the evening news to see it. All you have to do is pick up the paper and you'll see it. There is a lot of darkness all around us. All you have to do is listen to the despair in people's voices as they talk about the state of things. All you have to do is listen and ask yourself the question, what is that person afraid of? As they tell you the woes of the world, the woes of their life, there is more than ample darkness to go around, but we do not belong to the darkness. However compelling the darkness might be, however hopeless the darkness might seem to make the world look out to be, we do not belong to the darkness. We are children of the light. We are children of the light, and we are given that light. We are given that Holy Spirit. And just as a single match can be visible for long distances in the pitch dark, so too must our lights shine, because we do not belong to the darkness. That was verse 5. Verse 9 tells us to go out and possess salvation. Possess salvation. You know, I think one of the great disservices in theology that we have experienced, one of the great, great disservices that I have heard, is a theology that says this: once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have reached an end. Once you have decided that God has died for your sins and you repent of your sins and you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have fulfilled the beginning, the middle, and the end of what it is to walk as a Christian. Once you've done that, there's really nothing more. There's that theology that's out there that says, once you have been saved, you're always saved, and you cannot lose that salvation. And if such a salvation were true, if that was really the way that God worked, that you could accept Christ once, maybe even as a small child, say a prayer and be done with the whole thing. If that were true, then we're really wasting our time here, aren't we? If that were true, then it's sort of pointless to gather together. If that were true, then we've possessed salvation, and it's really quite easy. And the words of any book or the songs of any hymns, God has done for us what God intended to do for us, and it's done. But I suspect there's something more. I suspect, though, that that theology is not true. I suspect that when we talk about possessing salvation, there is that moment of justifying grace that happens in our life. And I cannot downplay its significance in our lives, but that is a little bit like graduating from high school. It is a commencement, a beginning, a starting point, a place from which grace is realized and embraced. It is a salvation that grows and is nurtured. It is the starting point of a journey that is meant to last until we draw our last breath. And if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. We must possess our salvation in the fullness that it was meant to be. We must gather together. We must invite others to do the same, because there is so much depth to grace. There is so much depth to the mercy of God. There is so much about the power and the light of God that we cannot encapsulate it in a quick prayer or an altar call. There is so much to know. There is so much to experience. There is so much to do. There is so many steps, are so many steps, on this road that we call growing in grace. And we must possess this salvation. We must grow in it together. We must encourage each other on this journey to take another step, to say, to ask, what is the next step? What is the next thing that God is calling me to do? Is God calling me to put something down? Is God calling me to pick something up? Is God calling me to pray for someone? Is God calling me to speak to someone? Is God calling me to do something for someone? What are the questions that we need to be asking of ourselves? What are the questions that we need to be asking each other? Grace, salvation, is more than just a prayer. We must possess our salvation, and by possessing it, grow in it. Thinking that we are saved by merely one prayer and then allowing the rest of our lives to go on in spiritual poverty is like opening the door and looking at the most precious gift you could ever receive and then closing the door and going on. It is like opening the present on Christmas morning and saying, oh, that's nice, and then wrapping it up and putting it back under the tree and coming back to it next year. With nothing else would we treat salvation like that. We wouldn't do that. In no other aspect of gift-giving and receiving would we treat our salvation. We wouldn't treat a gift like that. So we cannot treat our salvation like that. It must be something that is picked up. It must be something that we ingest. It must be something that becomes forever a part of us, and not just one time, and not even just once a week. But continually. The Apostle Paul says, pray continually. If I were to ask you to describe your prayer life, would you describe it with the word continuous? We all have something to aspire to, do we not? We must possess our salvation because we do not belong to the darkness. Sounds tiring, doesn't it? It sounds tiring. And it sounds tiring because I suspect many of us are lone rangers in our spiritual walk. We might talk to people about our children. We might talk to people about our favorite sports teams. We might talk to people about the weather. We might talk to people about whatever is going on in the world. But so often we neglect to talk to people about what is going on within our souls. So often we neglect to talk to people about what it is that is hindering us from taking the next step of faith, because that is a level of intimacy sometimes we don't even share with our spouses. That is a level of intimacy that we are afraid to bring out into the open. That's a level of spirituality that can help us to go very, very far. This is the model that Jesus used in calling the disciples and gathering together in a spiritually intimate group. This is the model that John Wesley used in growing the Methodist movement, in establishing his band groups and class groups, in which people could come together and talk about their spiritual disciplines, in which people could come together and talk about the joys of the Spirit of God moving in their lives, and how other people could pray for them, and how other people could encourage them. And this is what Paul tells us today, to encourage one another, to gather together. And so we're going to do that. And I'm going to encourage you, there's that word again, to invite someone else to do the same thing. You can use these.
I think that's
right behind you, too.
Did you get yours? Did you get yours? They had five in this row. You catch extras? Yeah, if you want to hand those back to them.
There we go. See? You have an invitation card right here and behind you as well. See, because one of the things that keeps us from doing this, one of the things that keeps us from talking about our faith is fear. And this fall, we're going to be hitting fear and anxiety head on. We're going to be talking about this a whole lot. And so I believe that there's a lot that can be done to face fear. I believe that a lot of us make decisions out of the fear of what might be if we don't, rather than the possibility of what might be if we do. We need encouragement. And so tonight, I have asked several people to gather together with me to learn about what it is to be a leader of a small group. And I am asking every single one of you to come and encourage and be encouraged within a group. We're going to have at least four, maybe five different groups that are going to meet throughout the week. Hopefully you're going to be able to find a time. You're going to be receiving an invitation to one of them, but if that doesn't work, that time doesn't necessarily work for you, then you'll have the opportunity to plug into whichever one does work. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to lift each other up, and we are going to be lights in this world. Lights that are together do so much more. We are not children of the darkness. And so we are going to stand together. We are going to grow with every breath that we have. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we give you thanks this day for never giving up on us. We give you thanks this day for the love that you've shown us. And God, I pray that each one of these little pieces of paper would find its way into the hand of somebody who needs it. And find its way into a hand of somebody who needs to be encouraged. Lord, we need a victory. We need a victory over those things that hold us back, over the darkness. We need you to relight us, to turn up the heat just a little bit, so that this community can start to feel, so that this community can start to see, so that we can draw others close to you in that Holy Spirit fire. We can be warmed by it. We can see by it. We can have our impurities burned away by it. And we can grow in holiness and love of you. And all God's people said, Amen.